everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Fregomeni. I'm your host for this show, telling you what's coming up this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. 4th of July week, but we still got shows for you. You want to come out and see some comedy? We gotcha. How about Wednesday the 3rd, the night before the 4th of July, we got open mic night at 7:30 p.m. Hey, it's cheap to get in. You always got a great lineup, some professionals, some amateurs. It's always a good time at open mic night. Again, that's Wednesday at 7:30. You don't have to get up the next day, right? It's 4th of July. Come enjoy open mic night with us. You have a good time. And then on the weekend, we've got Blaine Hill, our headliner. You'll hear me talking to Blaine in just a few minutes. But we've got a single show on Friday the 5th. Of July at 7:15 p.m. And then Saturday, 7 o'clock and 9:30, two shows on Saturday the 6th for you. I had a nice talk with Blaine. You'll hear that in just a couple minutes. We'll get more into that. And that's our week for you. So it's going to be a good time. We had a great week this past week. I got to tell you, really funny spots by Mary Santora coming in. You might have heard me talk to Mary last week. She's one of my favorites, and she did just a bang up job this weekend. And then we had Cam Patterson on Sunday night. Yes, on Sunday, the last day of June. Cam Patterson, some of you may know him from Kill Tony. And believe me, I tried to interview Cam Patterson for this show. It did not happen, but Cam was so funny. Two sold out shows on a Sunday. Really nice, funny young man. I don't know how old he is, but I was doing the math, and I'm like, he's probably about the age Eddie Murphy was when he did Delirious. So, you know, some people go, oh, this guy's young. He's talking about all kind of crazy stuff, sex stuff. And Eddie Murphy did all that in the 80s, same age as Cam now. It was great because, yeah, I've only heard Cam for a minute and a half on Kill Tony. But here he was doing two headline shows. It was terrific. And a really cool thing happened during the late show. Coming in with family in town comes the great Roy Wood Jr. We love Roy Wood. And he came back to the club just to hang out and say hi to Cam. And Cam did not know he was there. He was on stage at the time. And he comes back to the green room. I was in there doing the tech stuff. And Cam's face when he saw Roy hanging out in the green room waiting to talk to him was something special. Hopefully they put that up on social media. I know it was recorded in the green room. A real nice moment. Well, hopefully we'll get Roy Wood back. I was talking to him. Not that I booked the club or anything, but Roy's interested in coming back and playing the Comedy Castle. It's been a few years with Roy Wood from Daily Show. You may know him. He tours with Jordan Klepper from that show. But he's one of the funniest comedians around. And you know what, Cam? You know, look, I want to have Cam Patterson back for a full weekend. If he goes to a bigger venue, hey, we get it. The guy's blowing up. It was great to have him last night. But let's talk about this week. Let's talk about Blaine Hill, a super funny young man. I do not know how old Blaine is. I would say he's in his early 30s. We talk about that in the interview about looking young and the advantages of that. He does make jokes about it as well. But you know, I've known Blaine pretty much since he started, and the guy's been killing it everywhere as a feature opener. He's been headlining some smaller shows, as you'll hear. He tells us first headlining weekend at any comedy club this weekend for Blaine, and he's going to do a great job because he tells some stories, but it's mostly jokes. He tells you jokes. You get that punchline. You want that as a comedian. I teach this in the advanced comedy class. Get them laughs every 20, 30 seconds. You want that audience laughing and keep them laughing. And Blaine does that. He's really, really good. He's charismatic. No wasted energy. Just on stage telling you funny stuff consistently. And he's been doing that. And you'll hear the story that I bring up, but about, you know, meeting him backstage and going, you got a headline here, young man. So hear that story. We talk a little bit about the movies because I had a trip to the movies last week, which I hadn't done in a while. So here's some movie suggestions in that way. He tells me about the Detroit Pistons, but I don't know what's going on with those guys. I'll be honest, but that's a thing that Blaine follows way more closely than I ever will. I do talk about being a comic and, you know, trying to follow sports. It's very difficult. I'll tell a funny story about an NFL game, a famous NFL game. I was doing a comedy show during it. It's not great. But it was a real pleasure to talk to Blaine. You know, we come up the same scene. I started before him, but he's certainly killing it. And it's going to be great shows this weekend. Jacob Russell is the feature act. We'll hear us talking about Jacob. And Jacob was a guy that I taught, who is, I think, making his feature debut this weekend. Yeah, should be a great time. So anyway, let's throw it to the interview right now with Blaine Hill. I'll talk to you after, guys. All right, here we go. All right, here, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's a pleasure to have this weekend's headliner, Blaine Hill, talking to me. Hi, Blaine.
Hey, Joel. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, what a big weekend headlining the Comedy Cast. Come on.
Yeah, I'm really psyched. It's my first time headlining a club. I'm glad I get to do it at Ridley's. It's a great place to do it at.
Well, that was one of my first questions, was this the first time? I knew it was the first headline at the Comedy Castle, but I didn't know if one of these other local guys had given you a spot yet.
First club weekend, I believe. I've headlined some bar shows and some, one-nighters and stuff, but nothing like this.
Yeah. Well, you're doing so great. I mean, I think I remember you and I having a talk. God, that must have been over a year ago now, a year and a half ago. I was like, why are you not headlining this place, Blaine? Like, you came off stage after one of your many feature spots where I went like, every single joke worked. It was wall-to-wall laughs. I'm like, well, that's what a headliner can do. That's what our headliners, what we expect them to do. You can do that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I actually remember that you came, I came off the stage and you're like, ever thought about headlining? And at the time I was like, no, I was just focused on featuring, but, I guess it was a little ahead of schedule there.
Yeah. Well, you know what my feeling is when I think about the quality of a headliner, some people think of the headliners, famous guy, whatever. But, the quality of a great headliner is that every joke works and there's a lot of jokes. And, you have that quality just in a shorter set as a feature. So if you can do that for an extra 20 minutes, you're a headliner.
Well, I think I can. So and I like jokes. So if that helps, that's I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. I hope so. But, and that's the thing I always say about, I think certain comics can get by with long stories and, they're charismatic. I'm a little jealous of those guys, just myself as a comic, where I'm like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
This guy could talk about he got up and had a cup of coffee and everyone's laughing. And I'm like, I got to write jokes.
or talking about dating, their sex life. I'm like, I got to get one of those first.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where, the guys that can do it, make it look easy. But anyone that does it goes, oh, it's so hard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But you're doing great. So have you been in that thought with the amount of time you got to do? Has there been a process of you working on new material to get to this headlining thing, or is there old stuff you're bringing back? What's the plan?
It's a little bit of both. Yeah. Some older stuff that I've reworked and kind of edited down. I've also, I do have a lot of newer material that's been working pretty well the last year or so that I'm pretty happy with. Yeah. So it's kind of been both. And like when you're faced with something like this, you kind of just go with grab anything that works, right? You got to roll with that. And some of the stuff has been around for a while, but a lot of it is, a good chunk of it is pretty new, which I'm happy with.
Good. Well, I mean, that's one of the great things about taking that leap, as comics, you go from open micer to MC, from MC to feature highlight, is it forces you to write. It forces you to say, I got to bring new things in just to make the time.
Right, exactly. And like, that was my biggest worry. Luckily, I've had a couple opportunities to test myself, see if I could fill that time. So I'm pretty confident about that right now. But Now I have to do it, right? So I can't.
You gotta do it.
I can't be lazy.
You're doing it whether you want to or not.
Exactly.
They're doing your thing, but it's going to be a fun week. You have fun openers this week. Jacob Russell's with you this week.
Yeah, Jacob Russell, Madison Thomas. Yeah. They're pals of mine, and I'm really excited. They're very funny, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, I don't know that Jacob's featured our club yet, so that'll be.
No, I don't think so. I think this is his first weekend too. Yeah.
Yeah, I taught him. Here's just a funny, just about him. I taught him probably 3 years ago or something, the advanced comedy class,
right,
Jacob, and I was like, "You're so talented. You just got to keep doing it. Put your name out there." And he's like, "I'm funnier than all these guys getting these spots." I'm like, Just keep doing it and putting it out there, Jacob. It's going to happen for you. You're super talented.
Yeah, and he comes from the improv. Yeah. So he already had the skills and everything. It's just a matter of getting the material the same, you know. And he's done that, like, more than enough. He's got more than enough material, so he's going to be great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. But let's go back to you, not in the sort of transitioning to headlining comedian, but what was your origin story? How did you get into stand-up comedy? What were you doing before you were doing stand-up? What made you want to do it?
Before I was doing stand-up, I was getting in trouble a lot. Okay. I was out of college. I was kind of aimless, didn't really have anything going on. So around like my 25th birthday, before my 25th birthday, I made a New Year's resolution. Mm. Like before I turn 25, I'm going to try stand-up. And I tried it and I really liked it. I enjoyed it. Even though the first time I did stand-up, I was at, you remember Joey's Comedy Club. I got introduced. They introduced me as a new guy. This is the first time doing it. Mm-hmm. As soon as I get up to the mic, didn't even get the mic out of the stand yet. I hear somebody in the audience go, boo. That is the first half second of my stand-up life.
Yeah. Let me earn my boos.
Yeah, exactly, right? Give me a shot to suck. Yeah. So luckily I stuck with it. Then I did have some legal trouble that I talk about on stage a little bit. Yeah. Most marijuana possession stuff, nothing too serious.
Right.
But then, so I took a break for a little bit and then I came back. And then when I came back, I was pretty serious about it and I've stuck with it since, obviously.
Yeah.
But there was a little break there with the COVID stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of tough.
Yeah.
And I felt like it took me a year or so after that to get comfortable again back on stage, and then once that happened, I feel like I'm back to where I need to be, I think.
Yeah, well, it's great. I mean, I think COVID was so bad for comics because I think and you could probably name guys too. I'm not going to do it on the show, but guys who just stopped doing it, like completely stopped doing it during COVID and never came back.
For sure, and like there was a time during that when I was like thinking, oh, maybe their stand-up won't be a thing anymore.
Yeah,
you know. And I was happy with, I've done a lot of cool stuff in my time doing stand-up, so I was kind of proud of that. But it was I wanted to achieve some more stuff, so I'm glad we're able to still come out and do it.
It's arguably bigger than any time that I've been around. I've been around 25 years this year, and I mean, it's just gigantic stand-up comedy now.
Yeah, and it can come from everywhere, right? Some of these guys aren't coming the traditional way,
right.
Which... you sound happy about
no, but it's well. Look at my ears are ringing with the sounds of Cam Patterson from Kill Tony last night at the club. So
he
was terrific.
Did well,
terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny guy. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean it's cool that there's different avenues to do it, and I enjoy working with I've worked with when I was featuring there. I worked with Scott Cease.
Yeah,
who is a good comic, but he got famous from the TikTok stuff, and he was a hilarious guy. And he had a great audience, too, I thought.
Yeah, he was great. He was with us like 3 weeks ago, Scott.
Yeah, maybe some people came that wouldn't traditionally come to like a comedy club.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And younger people, that's another thing. And I think that's to your advantage, too, because I know you talk about it. Nobody knows how old you are.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm right in the middle of that. Yeah. I'm kind of... ambiguously aged, I guess you'd say.
Yeah,
but that helps. And I do I like the younger audiences. Sure. To be honest, I think I talk to them better a little bit.
Well, I heard Marc Maron talking about the thing that young people want. It's all these legendary guys that we've got out there working now who are huge and getting bigger every day. That young people don't necessarily gravitate to them because they're not someone their age. That it's a young person. Cam is in his early 20s. And, you certainly appear to be a guy in his 20s, however.
Yeah, I could say.
Yeah. So it's like, that's a great thing to speak. Scott C, same deal, right? Younger guy speaking to younger people. And it feels like, that people look for a comedian that can be their voice or at least, a few years older than them, maybe,
Right. Yeah. You get to set some expectations for the future. But you also get to, I feel like younger people are. I don't want to say smarter, but mm-hmm. they're, you know, connected. They're so you can talk about, and you can talk about like pop culture and the real world and things going on. Yes. And you don't really have to get them up to speed as much.
I've been, I'm not going to ask you about Drake and Kendrick Lamar. I had someone try to explain that to me, but I think you'd be good at explaining that too.
I do. I got some new stuff about that. So this weekend I'll be explaining Drake and Kendrick tomorrow to some older white folks, I'm assuming.
Yes. Look, I'm appreciative. I'm asking the questions. I need to know. But I think there's other people that'll be like, what are you talking about? Leave me alone. I don't know who these people are.
But it's just guys, right? They wrote some mean songs about each other.
Sure. It's like Neil Young and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Exactly. It's this generation's Neil Young and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Absolutely. That's great, man. But yeah, hip hop culture is a thing for you, right? Basketball, hip hop. That's your thing.
Yeah. I like rap. I've liked rap since I was a younger kid. Yeah. I guess that is kind of, you know, getting up there. I'm not as current with it as I used to be, but. I like NBA season just ended. There's a pretty good playoff, so I like that. That was fun.
Yeah.
That's like some of my non-comedy and things that I enjoy. Yeah.
Nice. Are the Pistons any good? Well, how was the draft for the Pistons?
We got a player. We don't really. He's kind of. We need shooters, and it doesn't seem like he's a good shooter.
Okay.
But they re-signed. Our main guy, Cade.
Yeah.
So he'll be around for a little bit, but we just signed Tobias Harris, who's been a Piston before. It's his short contract and he's all right. They'll probably be a little bit better than last year, but I don't have any confidence in them really. I don't think they're going to make a splash.
What about this coach? Tell me about him.
Who did we get?
I heard we hired a coach. No, did we not hire a coach?
Bickerstaff, right?
Okay,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think he'll probably be better than the last guy. He took Cleveland to the playoffs the last couple years.
All right.
So he's at least he's been good, but I still don't think he's going to move the needle enough to get us over the hump.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I always tell people, you know, comics come in and they're wanting to watch the game and they want to talk sports to me. And I go, look, man, I'm here most nights. I don't see NHL.
Right.
I don't see NBA. Again, NFL I can follow because most of it's on Sunday or Monday, you know. So I can follow the NFL, but nah, can't do it.
Yeah, it's really not. It's unless they're really good, you're just giving yourself stress. So it's not that fair.
I used to love the Red Wings and stuff and then gave it over to comedy. Gave my evenings to comedy.
Yeah, that was a tough thing for me too. Like I was a big, you know, sports fan, and then especially like starting out grinding in the open mics, you kind of are very myopic. You're only really, and so like a lot of the stuff that I like kind of fell by the wayside for a little while.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the worst week for a comedian, at least for me as an NFL fan, is that like wild card Saturday. Do you know what that is, where they play those games on Saturday and you don't know who's going to be in the game? And then you got gigs. You don't want to really take the week off. And you go, hey, if it's teams I don't care about, and then I just won't give a shit. And then it ends up being a game that you really want to see. And you're on stage while it's happening. It's really
bad. Exactly.
I'll give you a famous example of this. I mean, this is a game I remember. I was working Joey's Livonia.
Okay.
And it was like, I'm trying to remember. This is going back. But it was the Tom Brady Tuck game against the Raiders.
Oh,
do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And a guy, literally, I think it was the headliner that week. I was opening or featuring, whatever I was doing. But I remember the headliner getting on stage and the audience, and he tells the audience, oh, you're worried about that football game? It's okay, the Raiders won.
Oh.
Because he, like, saw that play.
Yeah,
went on stage and said the Raiders have the ball, told like 250 people or everybody were Joey's that the Raiders won that game.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, I went down to the bar and saw that the Patriots won. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, damn, that's pretty.
But that's always a tough week as a comic.
Yeah, and at this point now, they're doing football games on like almost every day, it seems like. So,
Yeah.
So it's like, who knows what you're going to have to run up against. But yeah, hopefully I get, I guess there's good timing this weekend because the football's over, basketball's over.
There's not much.
Just baseball, I guess, right now, right?
Baseball and competing with the lake, competing with
fireworks,
cottages, fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, I'm just as good as the lake or a cottage.
Sure.
I'll tell you that much right now.
Absolutely. Kidding me? You and Jacob Russell Madison, that's like.
Yeah, it's.
Hot dogs, apple pie. Yeah, fireworks.
Exactly.
The whole thing.
Exactly.
Baseball. Come on. Well, people, it's funny, you know, this Michigan thing with the weather and summer and, oh, comedy gets slow. That week it got hot. Well, our business was way up. We had David Tell that week.
Yeah, that helps. I mean, having a Tell always helps.
Yeah.
But that's always the thing that you hear from, you know, people. It's like, oh, it's too hot. It's nice out. It's going to be slow. And then it's also, oh, it's the weather's bad.
Yeah. Everybody
it's
going to
be slow. Yeah.
You know, I went to the movies for the first time and. I can't remember how long last week.
What'd you see?
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
How was it?
It's very good.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. Are you a new Planet of the Apes guy?
I have not seen any of those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They look cool. I just have not They're taken the time. Cool.
But here's the thing. If you wanted to just jump in with this one, you could.
Okay. That's cool.
Because they've jumped 300 years into the future, I guess. Yeah, the future. Because the first of the new ones started in present day. They did three of those. Now it's 300-year jump. Everybody from those movies is gone. New apes, new people.
All right, cool.
It's good. I liked it. I'm a fan. But I like the old Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I only know that like as a cultural reference. Charlton Heston on the beach with the...
Right.
Yeah.
It's here's the thing about the old movies. Yeah, everyone remembers that. You know, Rod Serling from The Twilight Zone wrote that original Planet of the Apes movie. So it kind of feels like a giant episode of The Twilight Zone a little bit. That first movie.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then it went bonkers, batshit crazy to where one of those original Planet of the Apes movies in the 70s takes place in like present day San Francisco.
Yeah.
And former Detroit newscaster Bill Bonds comes on the screen as a San Francisco newscaster in one of those.
Oh, really?
Planet of the Apes movie. So it's a little trivia for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I couldn't tell you which one that is, but I know it's sitting on my shelf right now.
All right.
The Planet of the Apes. Yes, that was the thing. It was a thing me and Corey Hall used to talk about a lot. I remember, you know, Corey.
Yeah, I remember Corey.
Yeah, Corey was great. Missed that
good
guy.
Good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do a comedy long enough and start to lose people.
Exactly. Either from quitting or something else.
Gone.
Yeah, right. So that you said that was your first experience in the movies in a while?
Yeah, first time in a while. It was my brother was in town with his son, and then they liked those two. And I said, oh, let's go. We haven't gone.
Were you a little nervous about that?
About the movies or just?
Yeah. Just being in the theater?
No. I kind of don't go because I have a big ass TV and I don't have a lot of time to go to movies.
Yeah,
I work nights.
Right.
But that's why. But, and you know, are the movies as good as they used to be? Probably not.
No.
No. I agree with you. What was the last good movie you saw?
I saw The Fall Guy. I like that one.
I saw Fall Guy at home. Yeah, it was good.
It was a cool little action movie.
It might outstay its welcome a little bit. I was I was thinking it was over, and then there's like a whole nother 20 minutes of cars jumping over shit.
Yeah, I could see that. And then what else did I recently see? Last one I could think of is the latest John Wick.
Oh,
I enjoyed that.
John Wick, Saw the first one, haven't seen the other ones.
You kind of get it.
Yeah, kind of more of that. Yeah,
it's more of the same, which I enjoyed, but like you're not missing anything vital, I wouldn't say.
Here's a hot pick if you want to rent this one. I think it's out of the theaters. It'll be on streaming at some point. But Challengers with Zendaya, the tennis movie. Very
you
good.
You like that one?
Liked it. Very good.
I've heard good things.
It's a little, it's kind of dirty. It's not like, you know, porn.
Yeah.
But it is, it's definitely sexy. It's a love triangle amongst two guys and a girl who are all playing tennis. And it's cool. I like
tennis, the most erotic of the sports.
that's the credit to the filmmakers. Challengers, because they both like Zendaya. And then Zendaya's like, I'm going to ruin the movie. I was kind of like, maybe you guys should kiss. Yeah, that happened. challenges.
That's cool. All right. Now you, sold me. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. 2024. Come on.
Let's go.
The guys can kiss. Why not?
Yeah, right.
Lane's like, I'll never see challengers for the life of me. No, it's cool.
I might see it. We'll see.
Movie. It's like that show Euphoria a little bit. Then Zendaya.
Okay.
So kind of has that vibe. It's stylistically, right. It's differently. But it's very well done. All right. Let's get you one or two more things. All right. Starting out, I remember a show. Give me memories of this show. I think I went and watched. I don't think I ever did it. But one of the things I remember from years ago, you were a young man, was the Blaine and Diego showcase at the New Way Bar.
Oh,
tell me,
man.
Memories of the, because, you know, Diego Atanasio, another super funny guy, he's out there doing his thing. He's headlined our club, so, you know, love Diego. But tell us about that show, how that came together. That was a big deal for a while.
Well, yeah, we did it. It was a show, I think I just, like, kind of drunkenly badgered Diego into doing it.
Yeah.
But it was a show we did at a bar in Ferndale called the New Way. They were very nice to us and very, you know, they were good to us for our show. Maybe not the best environment for a show that. But they gave us a shot.
Yeah.
And we it was a fairly early experience for me for like producing and putting on a show.
Right.
And it was cool to like, it's always cool to be able to give your friends some money. So that was cool, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But they gave you a Friday night, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. That was a huge thing. And that's, they gave us a Friday night once a month. And, you know, that's like it's a good location for that.
Yeah.
Again, the room, maybe not the ideal. Yeah.
Well, Friday night in Ferndale is party crowd, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't listen well. I mean, I think I went in there and watched one or two of them, but
No, we would have okay attendance. It would just be, you know, we would be fighting against the bar or whatever on TV or something.
The pool table.
And honestly, in those situations, I'm like, I can't blame the other people.
Right, yeah.
It's Friday like they didn't night, know this was happening. It's Friday night. And sometimes a TV might be better than the show two drunk guys are hosting that. Started comedy a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's fun. But here's the thing. I always say producing a show, I tell this to my comedy students, very important thing to understand how comedy works. And when you produce a show, you sort of see the other side of, you know, booking and why some people don't get used and why people get frustrated about not getting used and all that stuff.
And you see, like, what people are, because there's, like, people have levels of investment in stand up and stuff, which is fine, you know, but you want to see how people are like, want to entertain the crowd that's in front of them, or, you know, or if they're like fun to work with or like good, easy to work with. Yeah. That's cool. And then it's also, you just get to like meet new people or, people say, hell yeah, you got a show, come do my show.
That's great. That's one of the reasons to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Put yourself on the map.
It's a good networking thing. It's also like good to, if you have a recurring show, now I have to like try to do new stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't think I did, but,
did you ever do my club bar at open mic? Did you start after that, or were you just after that?
That must have ended like right before my time, because I would hear about that show because you guys would do it behind the bar, right?
Behind the bar. That's where the stage was at Club Bart.
Yeah. And that's like about maybe a little less than a mile away from New Way.
Yeah. Well, it's like a couple blocks, and it was Thursday nights. But, you know, the current New Way open mic on Monday is really a direct descendant from the Club Bart show, because when Bart sold the bar, one of our guys, there's a guy named Michael Sauve. I mean, you probably remember Michael.
I remember Michael. Yeah.
So Michael went down to the New Way Bar and said, hey, they're closing Club Bart. Can we do our comedy there? And they were like, yeah, you can do it, but you can't have Thursday night because it's a bar night. So they said, well, we'll do Monday. So Michael comes to me and goes, hey, do you want to do the open mic on Monday at New Way? And I go, well, two things happened. One, I said, and at the time, New Way was real kind of grungy. It's been sold since and improved a little bit. But it was real grungy, sort of had like a heroin reputation at that time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is like 2011. And okay. I go, no. And at the same time, I had reached out to Go Comedy, and they had given me the Thursday night late spot at Go Comedy for that summer. And so I ended up just producing that show, which went away after about 3 months. But as the stand-up improv rivalry continuing.
Yeah,
but,
right.
Yeah, that show went away, and I think it was Dig and Michael, you know, Dig Johnson.
Yeah.
Another guy we don't see too much of anymore, but he's another good dude. And those guys started comedy over there.
Yeah, I remember. That was, I think, after Joey's. That might have been my first open mic.
Yeah,
and I made the mistake of bringing people too early.
Okay,
you know, when you're starting out, you want to bring people because you want people at the show, but you want to wait until you got some seasoning under you, so you can show them that you don't suck and stuff like that.
Well, this is this weekend, then. That's the weekend to invite everybody.
Exactly. I know I got some people coming. Hopefully, a little bit more after they hear this.
Yeah, but I hope we do, man. It's going to be a fun weekend playing. I'm so proud of you. I've watched you come up from the beginning, and now you're headlining the Comedy Castle, and you deserve it, buddy.
Thank you, Joel. I really appreciate it. Your help all the way, and I'm really excited about this weekend. It's going to be a great time.
Sounds great. All right, guys, get your tickets for Blaine. Thanks for talking to me today.
Thank you, Joel.
All right, Blaine, later.
Bye.
Well, there it is, Blaine Hill, this weekend. Come on out. Skip the lake. Skip the cottage. But hopefully you can see Blaine this weekend. It's important for any new comedian. If you're a comedian, you're listening to this, maybe come out and see Blaine this weekend if you're not doing anything. Come on. Don't have your own shows. Not a lot of comedy this weekend. But we're making you laugh here at the Comedy Castle, and it's a pleasure. Let's plug a couple other things in addition to Blaine shows this weekend. The Advanced Comedy Class, my class, that thing is starting up in just, it'll be a week from this Saturday, July 13th, and I'm still looking for students. If you're a comedian who's got a little bit of experience and can stand on stage for 7 minutes, or if you're just a guy who's finished the beginner class at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, sign on up for the Advanced Comedy Class by calling the Comedy Castle at 248-542-9900 and signing up for that Advanced Comedy Class. 6 weeks. The last group was so great. Had an amazing showcase last week, and looking for more students. And, of course, we got beginner classes starting all the time with Bill Bouchard, and you call that same number, 248-542-9900, and we'll get you sorted out for comedy classes, which are a blast, and you'll enjoy. I think you'll enjoy them. I enjoy teaching them. I think my students enjoy doing them, and I think you will, too. All right, guys, let's get out of here. We'll see you this weekend for Blaine Hill. And enjoy your holiday weekend. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.